Welcome, everyone. This is Paul Keaton. Joining me today is Amy Kemp. And what's your name over there?
Name's Ian. Ian Saunders.
I'm an intern here
with Dorsey Wright.
Intern with Dorsey Wright. Ian, we wanted to bring Ian in because he is completing his last summer of internship at Dorsey Wright & Associates. And, you know, other than, like, the Dow going up, hitting 22,000, I mean, what the heck else we got to talk about here?
That's very true. It's more the same in terms of the market, that's for sure. So, Ian, I think, is the most... Well, he rivals probably Sarah Giegerich in terms of the most tenured intern.
Well, here's by my count, we have had three interns in the history of Dorsey Wright that have begun their internship without a driver's license.
That is true.
I believe that is Sarah, Tammy DeRosier, I believe Ian, you're the next one.
That is true.
So how many summers total?
This is my fourth summer.
Fourth summer, okay.
So Ian has been a wonderful intern here, and we have always been, and this is something that Tommy started years ago, in fact did so with Tammy DeRosier, who was the first intern at Dorsey Wright & Associates many, many years ago. And Tommy has always been a big advocate of the internship process, and not just from the standpoint that it helps the company or just from the standpoint that it helps the rising college senior, but more that it's a very mutually beneficial thing, and Amy and I can both speak to that. Mm-hmm. We were able to gain experience in a field that we maybe weren't going to get a ton of experience at school or a ton of coverage at school, and at the same time, the people that you ultimately will be working with get to know you a bit better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Ian, we have gotten to know you a great deal over the past few years, and it's been extremely pleasant. And so I was hoping you could tell...
Extremely pleasant.
Well, it's the fourth summer. I mean, if it wasn't pleasant, you wouldn't have been here for the last three.
Yes.
We've had a few one-and-doners, haven't we, Amy?
We have, yes. So that's why I laughed. That's why I chuckled. It has been extremely pleasant.
So for every success story like Ian's internship has been, there's also the others that we could probably write a very entertaining book about.
Yes.
There is one that I think lost their car in the parking lot.
Which was not a big parking lot.
And it wasn't stolen either. It was literally just lost the car in the parking lot. There was one who called in sick, used their one phone call from a jail cell to call in sick one day.
And, of course, there was the girl that never quite got the internship who asked if there was a designated nap time. To which I did not even know how to respond. So we've seen it all.
I think no.
The answer was no, but I didn't know if that was a serious question.
Oh, right. That's true. Joke could have been on you. Yeah.
I think I'm not sure.
All right. So, Ian, where are you going to school?
I go to William & Mary. One more year left, I'll be a senior this year.
What are you studying?
I'm an econ major. I study a little accounting, too, accounting minor. So, staying busy.
And so what I was hoping to do as well is to convey to our clients, Tommy always does this once or twice a year, and what we would like to do is give our clients an idea of what are the types of things that you have been participating in this summer. Now, admittedly, this is not your first summer, as we've said. This was your fourth. So you've had the previous 3 years to get a better understanding of kind of what we do. So you haven't just been making coffee this summer, right?
No, not just coffee and getting lunch.
you did do quite a bit of getting lunch.
There was a lot of lunch getting.
Working on a little bit of everything here. Everything from trying to help the analysts write the reports, working on different projects. But throughout the summer, what I've been working on mainly has been kind of reevaluating the score testing system that we have on the website.
So we have score testing systems. So we have the capability and have for years. We have a lot of internal testing processes, but one is a fun score modeling process. And those of you that are clients are well aware with the process by which we are able to score stocks and ETFs and mutual funds. And so the score testing mechanism that we have built over the years is allows us to say, hey, here's 50 funds, and what would happen? What would it look like if we once a quarter bought the things with the highest scores, and then 3 months later came back and reevaluated and sold if we had to sell something and replace it with a high score thing? And so we have models based on that. And so, what was it that you did, Ian, that was different than that?
So we had the funds that would be sorted by score, and then they were kind of lacking a volatility aspect to them. And so it's taking the kind of the relative risk score that we have on the site and trying to combine that with the normal fund score system to create a combination score that looked at both the technical side of it and then also the kind of the riskiness volatility factor versus the S&P 500 as well.
So what was, if you could say, what was the problem that you were solving for? Or was there a problem at all? Did you just make up a problem and say, hey, they're going to pay me anyway this summer?
Definitely not. The problem was that there wasn't a way to look at volatility and the scores together at once. There was the separate fund scores and the separate R risk measure that we have, but there was no way to kind of combine the two, or at least that we had tested thus far.
And so what we tend to find is that, and this has been an observation over the years from us and our clients, is that the fund score models do very, very well. But one of the limitations is that when you get in a rising tide, as we've been in for most of the past 8 years, when you're in this type of an environment, well, you know, I mean, what are the types of things you see almost perpetually at the top of the like group scores and stuff?
Anything risk on.
That's right.
You know, anything risk on. Anything technology related, anything yeah. equity related. That's international equity as of late. Yeah. And those are also the things that have the highest relative risk, you know.
So it's problematic for an advisor who's trying to build a strategy that is very fund score heavy, but they also have to build an allocation that meets certain risk-based hurdles. And so there has to be maybe a certain number of bond things in there, or the equity stuff that's in there can't be all internet, biotech, and China. And so that was really the problem. Is there a way to use two data points we already have, you know, the what a group scores based on fund scores of the things inside of it, and then what the risk level is of a group based on the volatility of the things inside of it. And so that was what Ian worked on for much of this summer. And I point that out because I think a lot of advisors, they say, well, gosh, I'm not going to go through the trouble of, you know, dragging some young kid in the office that I got to worry about keeping them busy all day or whatever. And it's not so much the paying them part of it. It's the, you know, a lot of advisors look at it and say, gosh, do I have enough to interest them and keep them busy and give them a good summer experience? Mm-hmm. And the reality is that a lot of college kids are very self-motivated, regardless, you know, despite what you might read about millennials.
Right.
Many of them are very, very motivated. They will put twists on projects that you give them without you necessarily needing to guide them in that direction. But the most important thing is that you're able to give a young person a different impression of the industry than they might otherwise have. And I would suspect, Ian, that you have walked away this summer with a very different understanding of the business, the different facets of the business. And, you know, my guess is you've learned a lot that you couldn't have possibly learned at the fine institution of William & Mary.
Absolutely. I mean, each summer I've been here, it's kind of continuously, as I said, I learn a lot in the classroom, but I learn almost as much during the 3 months here as I do during two semesters in college. So it's,
why the heck are we paying you then? shouldn't it be the other way around?
So why am I paying William & Mary?
Oh boy, you might have a professor listening to this. All right, Ian, you got to keep your head down for the next 9 months, buddy. Okay, so let's play a fun little game. Amy, worst intern project ever.
That I worked on or that I witnessed?
Okay, we'll do it each way. That you worked on first.
All right, that I worked on. So I interned, my first summer at Dorsey Wright interning was summer of 2008. And of course, there was no shortage of happenings in the market then. But there was also no shortage of interns at Dorsey Wright. So Ian is one of two summer interns at Dorsey Wright this summer. I was one of seven. So the ratio back then of intern to analyst was 1-to-1. You know, and I worked on, and every once in a while we have somebody who's been a subscriber for a long time call and ask where the ETF classification cards are. which before the, you know, modern day query and all of the ETF resources that are available, if somebody wanted to invest in an ETF that targeted a particular sector or a particular commodity or whatever, they would have to download the PDF from the site, look at the classification card, and go in and see, you know, at that time what, how many ETFs were in 2008.
In 2008, there were, I'm sure, a few hundred.
Definitely enough to keep me busy.
Enough to keep you busy, but I remember making that card probably in 2003 or something, and there was maybe 30 ETFs. And that was the idea, is that, okay, you know, here are all the ETFs that exist and their symbols and the names, and that was pretty much it. And maybe you broke it down by like U.S. equity, international equity, and bond. And that was the idea. Here's a nice, concise little card. And as the number of ETFs grew and we still had cheap labor around, I guess we just, it took us a while to admit that these can't all fit on one card.
Yeah. No, there were multiple cards. There were equity, there was an equity card, you know, a commodity card. So I would say that was the most, not difficult, but time-consuming task, I guess, I had as an intern. And then, but I think one of my most favorite, and we talked about this morning, not knowing this was going to be the topic of the podcast, one of my favorite intern projects to watch happen was a vision from you, Paul Keaton, to an intern to develop a image of a clock that would basically tell you when all of the different international markets were open, so you could see, you know, how that overlapped with U.S. markets or how they may overlap with one another. The whole idea being to try to trade as closely to the windows of when the market was open in that country. And poor intern probably worked on that for and nothing else. A solid 2 weeks, maybe 17 iterations. We started out with a 12-hour clock.
That was a problem because there are actually 24 hours in the day.
That was a challenge.
So that was a major limitation.
And I think the worst part was all of his time and effort never saw the light of day because it just didn't quite materialize, I guess, is the...
So, yes, not all the products. And that's another nice thing about having interns in, is that even if you have an idea that you think might be interesting, and it could be, you know, maybe you had an idea for an interesting story or an interesting little study that you could send out to your clients and prospects as just a little touch base kind of thing. And I was just talking with another analyst before we walked in here. I said, you know, the presidential approval ratings right now are like 38%. Well, wouldn't it be interesting to know if the market does better when the approval ratings are, you know, below 40% or above 50% or something like that? Well, that's the type of thing that a young, bright, motivated intern could just kind of run with, where you're probably not otherwise going to go do that sort of thing yourself. And by the way, hopefully we'll go ahead and throw that research together over the next week. But anyway, it's the type of thing that by having a young person with a bright mind and also the ability to find things on the internet that, you know, maybe the rest of us aren't going to spend enough time sticking with it to find, you never know what's going to come out of it. But we do know that we've seen time and time again that it's mutually beneficial. No one's ever lost a limb over it, right?
Yep.
We've had plenty of very, very interesting personalities, many that had... you know, heck, probably shouldn't have driven in a car. Ian, you weren't legally able to, but I would have put you behind the wheel of my car before some of these others.
Yep.
And, you know, but it works out. And at the end of the day, or the end of the summer, as the case may be, you've touched someone's lives and you've provided something for them that they couldn't possibly get from school. And they've probably given something to you as well. They help kind of keep you young and keep you on your toes as well, believe it or not. We'll wrap it up, but I just remembered when you were talking about that project, my very first project at Dorsey Wright was actually the very first thing or a piece of glue that I would say really attracted me to this little tiny company in Richmond, Virginia 20 years ago. And it was because I came into this little company in 1996, 7, something like that. And my job was to go find the web address, the URL, of every S&P 500 company, because we were going to put that on our website.
Right.
Now, here's the ironic thing, is that I'm at this little tiny startup with like, little tiny Wall Street company with, I don't know, 5 employees at the time or something like that. And we have a website. You know, we have entire wall of probably 40 modems supporting our clients' ability to come in and download charts and stuff. This little tiny company has a website, a presence on the World Wide Web. And as I go through the process of trying to find the websites for every S&P 500 company, I find out there's about 300 that didn't even have a website.
Really?
In 1990, I'm going to say 7. And that was a big eye-opener. And so when Tommy started talking about being an innovative company and always pushing the envelope on technology, that was a great piece of evidence that, gosh, we really are. I mean, there's all these companies out here that should have a presence and don't. And we did, as one of our biggest clients at the time was saying, you know, the internet's a flash in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting little tidbit. So, Ian, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you being with us this summer and each of the past 4 summers.
Thank you.
Thank you for fighting through the nerves to join us on our podcast. And is there anything that you would add to this, anything that you would say in terms of from the perspective of young people, are most of them do they find it difficult to get summer internships? Is that a big source of stress for you guys?
It is. It's definitely be very difficult for some people. But I will just say, to add on, to piggyback on something that Paul said earlier about not being afraid to get a summer intern and to give them projects, especially right when I was first starting, something that you as an advisor might not think might not be very important, or that a younger person might not be interested in, it was extremely eye-opening and very beneficial for me just to do just about anything. I mean, anything related with the markets, anything, I mean, just the little tedious things that you might not want to do and just pass along was still very interesting to me just to kind of see how the whole realm, see how the whole industry worked. So
how did it, William and Mary, what was the process? Like, how did someone find an internship?
We have a pretty good career center that connects people with internships. But it's definitely a lot of the students that you got to do most of the work on your own. I mean, the application deadlines keep getting earlier and earlier this year. I mean, I've already started getting emails this week talking about applications that are going out for next summer, next summer internships. So it's just seems to keep getting harder and harder.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. So those of you that might be interested in this for next summer or for Christmas break or something, it sounds like career centers at your local colleges would be the place to reach out to. So thank you very much, Ian. Thank you, Amy. And we'll talk to you guys next week.